You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is John B. from GangreneNation.com presenting the Locked On Jets podcast on Thursday, November 14th, 2019. Great to have you with us as always as we talk about the New York Jets on our daily podcast. We do this 5 days a week. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it. You can get new episodes sent automatically to your device. You can do it wherever podcasts are available, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And if you do like this show, please do give it a good review. It helps us out quite a bit. We're going to get to the mailbag in a bit, but there was some pretty big news from the Jets on Wednesday that I think must be discussed. I will tell you that the good news is that one day, at some point in the future, the New York Jets will be a well-run operation. They will make a lot of smart decisions. Now I'll give you the bad news. That day is not today, because the owner, Chris Johnson, got in front of the media yesterday and announced that the New York Jets will not be making a coaching change in season. And not just that, they will not be making a coaching change after the season as well. And I will tell you that our friend Connor Rogers, who does the great Stick to Football podcast, nailed it on Twitter. He appears on this show from time to time. Biggest problem with the Jets continues to be the owner makes key football decisions, not the GM. And I mean, I don't think I could have said it better myself. There is really no logic behind what Chris Johnson did yesterday. And I don't think there's been a lot of logic behind many of Chris Johnson's moves as owner of this football team. But the biggest problem, and it's been the biggest problem with this team over the last decade, has been ownership making the wrong moves and not inserting itself into decisions that it has no business inserting itself into. I could not tell you why this owner decided to make this declaration yesterday. It really just makes absolutely no sense for Chris Johnson to get up there and make the statement at this point in time. Essentially, you are giving this coaching staff a free pass no matter what happens the rest of the year. What if this team loses out? What if the locker room crumbles? How can you get out there and make that statement right now? It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. So what's happened is one of two things is either the coaching staff now has no expectations on it for the rest of the year. No matter what, you're coming back. You know, a team that's missed the playoffs, about to miss the playoffs for a ninth straight year, is now being told, you know what, we are not going to have any standards here. Or what Chris Johnson said wasn't true and he was just lying and all he was doing was antagonizing his fan base. Why would you do that then? It makes no sense. It's just boggles the mind that Chris Johnson could get up there and make that statement. And here's one of the big problems is if this was an ownership group that had success, that had a history of making the right decisions in big spots like this, I would be willing to give them more leeway. I would even be willing to say, okay, fine, they can make the decision over the GM. This is an owner who's 10-31 in his tenure with the Jets. 10-31. This is a guy, let's be honest, who really has no credentials to be running an NFL team. And we know he's not the only guy in the NFL who got his job because he's related to somebody. But this is the only, he couldn't get a job in the NFL if he was just doing it with his resume. He has no credentials to be making these decisions. And essentially what it is a guy who's 10-31 and who has blown pretty much every major decision. I mean, what major decision has he made that hasn't been a disaster? Really, the only one you can come up with is the hiring of Joe Douglas, and even at this point, that's a total projection. We're just making a projection as to what's going to happen in the future. But this is a guy who's 10-31, who is now telling us, you know what? Just trust me. Trust me, the 10-31 owner, that the 25-33 coach is going to be great. He's going to turn things around. He's going to get everything going, everything moving in the right direction. You know, it's just kind of tough to believe. And it feels reactionary. You know, it certainly does feel reactionary to what happened last week. Last week, of course, if you were paying attention to the news, a Jets fan started a GoFundMe page and they raised enough money and they paid for an airplane to fly over Manhattan with a banner on it that said, "Fire Adam Gase." And from that point, you could see the Jets PR machine kind of move it to work with the beat writers on like Friday. All of a sudden, all at once dropped every objection they had to Adam Gase and started lashing out at the fans. Started lashing out at how stupid it was for the fans to spend their... Well, I don't understand why these guys care so much about how people spend their money. Now, do I think that paying for planes that have banners on them calling for a coach's firing, do I think that that's going to make it more likely the coach gets fired? No. I personally don't. That's my view. Am I putting money into it? No, for that reason. I don't think it's going to make a big difference. If you're asking me, John, what do you think? That's what I tell you. I don't think, you know, if you're looking for ways to spend your money, I don't know that that's necessarily going to impact the team a whole lot. But why? I'm not going to get sanctimonious over it if somebody just... That's your money. You can spend your money however you want. And I think that the Jets, based on the way they performed, the Jets should be very thankful that there are people still passionate about enough about the organization to do something like this, because this is an organization that's done pretty much nothing right the last decade. And they've been one of the worst organizations in the NFL over the last 9 years. So they should be thankful. You know, they shouldn't be. And I don't get why the beat writers start lashing out at the fans. It like annoys me. It really annoys me because, I mean, first of all, again, it's not their money. But second of all, it's not like these beat writers are vastly superior football minds to the people they're talking down to. You know, it's not like they know much more than you know. They follow the game. You follow the game. It's not like these are guys who, you know, and I don't mean to be mean to these guys, but it's not like these are like the most in-depth NFL analysts. I don't think that they know the game better than you do. Your opinions are just as valid as theirs. They shouldn't be lashing out at you over that. But then after that, and it felt like everything was happening all at once. It seemed like that this was not just a random event. It seemed like there might be some PR at play from the Jets. Then over the weekend, a story leaks to Adam Schefter, again kind of calling the group of disgruntled fans to task. And Gase is not going anywhere. And then this offensive with the owner yesterday, where Chris Johnson has declared that, you know, Adam Gase is going to get a turn. Don't worry. In my 10-31 insight, my 25-33 coach will turn it around. You know, it's tough to figure out how this coach even got hired to begin with. It's tough to figure out how the owner could watch this team play this year and actually believe that this coach is going to turn it around. And it just shows you, once again, that the biggest problem... The New York Jets have had a lot of problems over the last decade or so, but the problem that creates everything else, the problem from which all of the problems are created, is ownership for this franchise. MyBookie is fast and easy, and they pay when you win. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Did you know you can bet on games after kickoff? If by second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always take the other side. And if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, you can try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, Locked On Jets podcast. Let's jump into the mailbag now. Thanks to everybody who sent in your questions. Our first question deals with the news of Wednesday. Do you take Chris Johnson's words as gospel, or was it just something to take some of the heat off his staff? After all, the man said he wasn't firing McCagnan. I guess if you want to hang your hat on anything, that's it, is that, first of all, this owner has sometimes said things that ultimately proved to be untrue. And I guess the second thing I would say is one of the hallmarks of bad ownership is changing your mind in a hurry, you know, not sticking with a plan. So not that you like that in a broad sense, but it is possible. I mean, look, if this team, maybe he's got something in his mind that he thinks that now that this team's going to turn it around. Maybe if this team loses a bunch of games at the end of the year to bad opposition, that will cause him to reassess his views. I don't think you could even say at this point it's 100% Gase coming back, but I mean, look, I also don't think you can put his words yesterday as meaningless. There was no reason he needed to go out on a limb and say that Gase was coming back. I mean, I think it indicates that it's probably more likely than I originally thought or many of you originally thought. Next question, Vernon Hargreaves. Why didn't the Jets put a claim on the former first-round corner? Would you have... Well, you know, I have one simple corner test right now. is actually I have two tests. I have two questions that I ask myself before any potential corner acquisition. One is, do you play cornerback in the NFL? And two is, do you have a pulse? Because, and I'm joking, obviously, but I mean, pretty much anybody with any degree of talent, I would be looking to bring in right now. You know, I think with Vernon Hargreaves, you know, you talk about him being a former first round pick. I think that labeling him that maybe gives people the idea that he's better than he really is, because you know, teams also don't just waive former first round picks unless they think that the guy's totally hopeless. So, you know, you could say that, well, he had enough talent to go in the first round. Well, I know plenty of first round players who ultimately panned out and gave you nothing. That said, I mean, where the Jets are, I mean, pretty much anybody who conceivably could have a career right now, if he's available, the Jets should go out and get them. So, yeah, I am a little surprised they did not put the claim in, but I don't think that Hargreaves was going to come in and fix the defense. That said, I mean, what are we holding on to right now? You know, what do we have at the corner position? We don't have a whole lot right now. Next question. Do you think the Jets should trade down in the first round no matter what? Well, you know, I don't think you could ever say absolutely under any circumstances you should trade down, because, you know, let's take this to the extreme. Let's say that there's only one trade offer and the Jets would have to trade down 10 spots and all they'd get in return is a fifth round pick. Well, then it's probably not worth it. So I don't think you could say that absolutely no matter what you have to trade down. Just in the same way you could not say absolutely no matter what you have to take an offensive lineman. Because the example I always use is, you know, if you had that rule in 2015, the offensive lineman the Jets probably would have taken would be Eric Flowers, who the Giants ultimately selected and was a total bust for them. You know, did nothing for the Giants. So it's a situation where, you know, if you, the value has to be there. Now, that said, I'm absolutely looking to trade. I'm doing everything I can to get a fair offer to trade down, because the Jets just need so much right now. This is a team that really is barren at the cornerstone positions in this league, outside of quarterback. At quarterback, you do have, you know, but you have to try and build around this. This quarterback's not going anywhere unless you build an offensive line around him. The Jets just aren't one player away, and that's kind of the way I view Chase Young. Is a fantastic prospect. And if the Jets pick Chase Young, look, am I going to go be screaming about how stupid the Jets are? How can you be screaming that a team's stupid for drafting a prospect like that at an important position? But the Jets, you know, you add Chase Young to this team, where are the Jets really going? He's going to help a little bit, but how far does one great pass rusher take? How many playoff games has Khalil Mack won? Khalil Mack, probably the best edge rusher in the league. But he's been on, especially in Oakland, not so much in Chicago now that he's got other great players. But in Oakland, he was really the only great player they had on that defense, and the defense was bad with him. And, of course, Oakland was better than they would have been without him. And, you know, any defense is going to be better with Chase Young than they would be without him. But if I can get multiple picks, you know, if the choice is Chase Young or multiple picks where I can really restock the cupboard, where I can really add a bunch of extra players to build my team up, then I think you have to look at it. I think you really have to. I think it's not something they have to do no matter what, but it should be the first priority. It should be the first thing they're looking to do. And if you can't, then you can't. Then you go to plan B. But I think that should be plan A, in the same way that drafting offensive line should be plan A. Yeah, you have to be adaptable. You have to adjust to circumstances as they present themselves. You know, if there's no good offensive lineman when you're picking, then you have to look in another direction. But that should be plan A right now. That's kind of how I view it. No, you can never say with 100% certainty you do anything, but that should be plan A. It should be plan B. Honestly, it should be plan C. Locked On Jets podcast here, Mailbag Thursday. Next question deals with Bless Austin, the corner out of Rutgers, the rookie corner who saw his first NFL action on Sunday, and a question emailed to me asking how I thought he played after reviewing the film. So I actually went back and watched it, and I focused exclusively on Bless Austin. And, you know, he's gotten a lot of hype for his performance. Originally, he got a lot of hype because of the way his college career ended. He ended with a pair of torn ACLs in his last two seasons. So it's kind of a miracle he even got to the NFL. And it's a great story. You know, it's really, you feel good for him that he got to the NFL. And we talked about this the other day. It's, you know, no matter what happens in his career, he's always going to be able to say he played in an NFL game and played pretty well. And I do think he played well. I don't think he was, you know, a lockdown corner. Some people are acting like he was a dominant player. But I think all things considered, for a sixth round rookie, especially one who really has not gotten many game reps over the last few years. I think you had to be happy with that performance. I thought he showed pretty good feel for zone coverage. I think in general he was with his guy. It's a little tough to say because he wasn't targeted that much, and when the guy's not targeted, it's all you can never say with certainty the quality of his coverage, because sometimes you're looking at the film, it looks like there's a lot of separation, and then the guy you're covering gets thrown to and you catch up and you make a play on the ball. And there are other instances where it looks like you're in good coverage, and then the guy you're covering the ball gets thrown to him and he makes the catch. We'll call that the Daryl Roberts theory, where Daryl Roberts is frequently in good position but cannot identify the ball. So with that said, it's a little tough to say, but I do think in general he was in good position. I think he showed good, like I said, I think he showed good feel for zone. There were a couple times he was beaten. I thought the Golden Tate 2-point conversion where it was, call pass interference, offensive interference was called on Tate. I wasn't sure I agreed with that call. Austin was beaten on a third down play. And then on the play where Adams got, stole the ball from Daniel Jones, it looked like Austin was covering a crossing route there, and it was like, we'll call it the Trumaine crossing route coverage, where it looked like there was a lot of separation. There could have been a big play if Jamal had not gotten there and stolen the ball. But that said, I'm not looking for 2009 Darrelle Revis caliber play out of a sixth round rookie who was coming off a couple torn ACLs. I think in context, and you always have to view these things in context, it was a good performance, and we'll see if he can build on it. We've seen some Jets players start off well and then not play as well later on, so question is, can he build off that now? But yeah, I think all things considered, week one, for first week of his career, not bad. Not bad at all. Next question, Mayfield versus Darnold. Who has been more disappointing this season? Who do you think is more likely to succeed going forward? Well, I guess it depends on who you ask in terms of who's been more disappointing. I think to the general NFL fan, you'd probably go Mayfield, because I think that the expectations were higher based on the team he had, based on the supporting cast. And Mayfield's also older than Darnold. So I think in general, most NFL fans, most NFL pundits were probably not as high on Darnold this year as a lot of Jets fans were. Now, obviously, if you're a Jets fan, you'd say Darnold because that's the guy you're watching every weekend. But I think in general, Mayfield was the more disappointing. Who do I think is better going forward? Well, it depends on how these teams respond to it, to be honest with you. I think both these teams, not just the Browns, I never understood the Freddie Kitchens hire. I think it's always a mistake when you focus on the play caller at the expense of finding a good head coach, where you hire a head coach based on his play calling, not based on his leadership. I think that was a shaky hire. How well will these teams build their offensive line? Because I think these two quarterbacks could go either way, and I think some of it's going to come down to nurture. Some of it's going to come down to the way these teams develop these quarterbacks. I felt going into that draft that Darnold was the better of the two prospects. He was the guy I wanted. The funny thing about Mayfield is I went into that draft, and I didn't love Mayfield, and I didn't hate Mayfield. I wasn't as high on him as a lot of people. And Mayfield goes out and has this phenomenal rookie year, and I'm thinking, man, what did I miss? And now I watch him this year, and it's all the stuff that scared me at Oklahoma. The willingness to abandon the pocket, the jitteriness under pressure, the struggles sometimes with the more complex. It's like all the stuff that scared me at Oklahoma that did not manifest itself in year one, that made me doubt my own evaluations, it has now come to the surface in year two. And as far as Darnold goes, you're seeing a lot of the stuff that plagued him during his bad moments at USC, some of the mechanical breakdowns, some of the suspect decision-making, trying to do too much. So it's kind of funny because I think for both these guys, you've seen the good, you've seen the bad. And I think a lot of it depends on whether these teams do well enough supporting these guys going forward. I think that's kind of, I would love to give you a better answer, but I honestly think a lot of this comes down to that. Next question. Will Quinnen Williams be different than Muhammad Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson, and Leonard Williams? And, it's interesting because those three guys, Wilkerson, Richardson, Williams, none of them were like outright busts from the standpoint of, like, these guys weren't like Vernon Golston. These guys actually played pretty well for years. These guys had pretty good years. These guys had Pro Bowl years. All three of them went to the Pro Bowl with the Jets. But then they never, they did not sustain it over the long run. So you know, hopefully not. I would say this is that I do think after reviewing, I wrote an article about this yesterday. You can go to gangrenenation.com and read it. I actually studied Quinnen Williams in this game because I thought it was interesting how some of the young guys on this defensive line, whether it's Shepard, whether it's Fatakasi, were playing really well. And Quinnen Williams was kind of quiet. I went through like some of his film, and you know, I don't know the play calls the Jets are running, but it almost looks like they're using Quinnen Williams as a guy. They just want to draw double teams and protect the linebackers because the Jets are so banged up at linebacker that they're just trying to keep the linebackers clean, and they're asking him to, like, instead of make plays, do that, eat up blocks. That's kind of my read on Quinnen Williams right now. So I think that might be one of the reasons he's not filling up the stat sheet like you may have expected him to. That's kind of my read on the situation. Next question, which Super Bowl scenario do you prefer? Niners, Patriots, or Seahawks, Ravens? Oh, Seahawks, Ravens by a mile, because the answer is quite simple, because that one doesn't have the Patriots. When I watch the Super Bowl, if the Jets aren't in it, and look, the Jets have not been in the Super Bowl in my lifetime, but if the Jets aren't in it, I just want to be able to watch a game where I don't mind either team winning. I don't want to have a team that I hate in there where I have to root against them and be nervous that they're going to win. So get the Patriots out of there. I would much rather see Seahawks, Ravens, and I think it's a more compelling quarterback matchup as well, because you know, I'm sorry, I'm not buying Jimmy Garoppolo right now. Garoppolo Monday night, he went from a guy who was maybe this guy's good enough to win with such a great supporting cast category, to maybe this guy's holding the Niners team back. Because that was his moment to shine. That was his moment to show he could take that team on his back occasionally. He doesn't have to do it every week, but occasionally he could take this team on his back. You know, no Kittle, no Sanders. He did not do it. So I think it's a better quarterback match. Lamar versus Russell, I think that would be a heck of a quarterback match. A lot of fun. Two excellent quarterbacks. I think it's amazing to say in a game, you know, one of the matchups has Brady in it, but I think Lamar Jackson versus Russell Wilson, that's a phenomenal quarterback matchup in the Super Bowl. Be a lot of fun to watch. Thanks for listening to our show today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy our show, please subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Have a great Thursday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to break down this weekend's game.